Hey, I'm Zara J, relationship coach, author, and creator of the Passion Attraction Prototypes. And on this podcast, I teach high-achieving women like you how to break relationship patterns and create a match game plan so you can quickly identify and attract a compatible partner for commitment in less time using my six-step formula, the Captivating Courtship Code. Every week, I bring you lessons, reflections, and love-changing tips that have been proven to help my clients meet their partners and transform their love lives quickly. You're getting the inside scoop from my years of owning a matchmaking service and as an expert relationship coach that will take you from a wounded princess to a captivating queen of courtship. So, if you're ready to ditch trying to get him to commit, which are just anxiety-creating relationship tactics, and instead learn authentic yet intentional, proven relationship attraction techniques so you can finally have the partnership you desire, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Courtship Code Podcast. So today I'm joined by Amira, and I'm so excited to speak with you about your journey with coaching, being a part of Captivating Courtship Community, and what made you decide to, one, get on this journey, and how has it affected you? And just to give a heads up for this episode, we are going to be talking to a special woman who has what we call the adapter love loop pattern. And with the adapter love loop pattern, they tend to lean both towards anxious and avoidant when it comes to their attachment style. And the other thing with the adapter love loop pattern is that they can operate in a lot of fear when it comes to getting out there, getting new experiences. They tend to take on other people's experiences as their own, and it can create, one, long periods of being single, and two, a lot of anxiety when it comes to moving the relationship forward, to making commitment, and just progressing when it comes to their love life. And so we want to get anyone that's listening to this that has the adapter love loop pattern to get out of that space. I like to call it living in like a reality world, like it's like a reality show, like kind of just like seeing relationships through other people's eyes and really pushing yourself to get out there, meet people, take action, move your love life forward, because you can have positive experiences and it doesn't have to be all fear driven. It doesn't have to be so scary, and you can actually really step into your power when it comes to your love life. So thank you so much, Amira, for joining me today and having this conversation with me. And before we get started, can you just give like a brief introduction to who you are? How did you find Captivating Courtship? What made you decide to come along this journey and bring me along this journey with you?
Definitely. Thank you so much, Zara. I'm grateful to be here and to share my experience with you all who are listening. So I am working professional and, aunt, community member. I hold different roles in, in my life, and I value all of them. And I had, been in the practice of nurturing those different roles and relationships that I have with family and friends and community, and very, career driven and personal development driven as well. But I tended to just really struggle with relationships when it came to getting myself out there. And as you said, with the adapter pattern, there's some fear and trepidation about connecting with people. And so for me, I was having this intense desire for companionship that grew over time. But on the other side of that, I was also afraid to take a step out. And so one of the things that really pushed me was just reaching a point where I was like, I don't know how to, go about seeking the companionship that I desire. And I was one of those people who I made lists. I had visions of what I wanted. Like, I was really particular and detailed. And I was like, well, I'm being detailed, so bam, it should just come at me like that, But I wasn't. I didn't have that lack of fear to move forward. I was very, very afraid to step and act on what I was seeking. So I found out about your coaching program probably a year or two before I actually entered. And I said, when I have the resources to invest in coaching, I'm going to do it. And the resources came, thanks to God. And then I was like, all right, well, maybe I'll give it one more year. You know, adapters, we delay a little bit, even when we know the thing that we want is right in front of us. So in the name of self-sabotage, right? So I remember I had a really, intense spiritual moment, and I was just like praying for help. And so my go-to action when I'm overwhelmed or stressed, ironically, is to just work on something. So I'll go to work on a project. I'll do something that gives me a chance for my mind to be busy and in a space where I feel like I can get quick results. Because another thing is, like, with adaptive patterns, like, we want to see instant results because we're afraid to be vulnerable and open and feeling the wind, you know? So I got on LinkedIn actually, and your profile came up randomly. I don't even know how. I knew it was divine intervention. And I was like, okay, this is my sign. So I put in my inquiry request through your forms that you had online for our discovery call. And as they say, the rest was history. And that was that moment where I was like, yeah, this is my time to invest in this process. And really, the discovery call that I had with you, the very first one, just helped to cement that I was on the right track and, make me feel like even with my anxiousness, like I can do this, I can take a step forward.
Amazing. Now, we're going to go into more detail about this, but you've been in coaching for about 6 months now. And how do you see yourself differently? How do you see relationships, your path to love, just like everything differently since you have started back in, I believe it was November. So from November till now, March, how has things changed for you?
Oh my goodness, my life has done a complete 180. It's sometimes I have to pinch myself because it doesn't feel real. I feel grounded in my reality, but the transformation has been so vast that I didn't even expect to accelerate the way that I have. And I think not just in growth, not just in relationships that I've cultivated, but also in just personal growth. I think that's the thing about journeys. Sometimes we start them thinking, oh, it's going to be arduous in certain ways. And there are certainly tests and challenges that I'm facing. But the growth, sometimes when you don't know what you're, when you know you want to get to a certain goal, but you don't know how it's going to look, that growth in between can take you by surprise. And so I would say one of the pinnacle growth moments for me was about a week after I started. So I joined right before the fall Captivating Weekend. And that Captivating Weekend completely, transformed my perspective on relationships. It helped me to fine-tune and verbalize exactly what I was seeking in a partner and the things that I wanted to be honored by my partner. It also helped me to heal from some past relationship trauma as well. And I can't remember the name of the activity, but there was a
The
specific
gifts from
activity that
men,
we did.
probably.
Yes, the gifts of men, that was it. That one, I'm sure all the folks who were there
Everyone was
remember
in
me
tears and really
sobbing.
emotional.
Yes, I had, I mean, the I was sobbing, but it was a great activity because it affirmed to me what I knew about myself and my worthiness. And sometimes we can know that we're worthy of something, but it just takes an extra push for us to have that affirmation out loud, that verbalization out loud, and to be okay with it. So that weekend really helped me to just switch gears. And I think from then on, I approached online dating and meeting men from another level and place of worthiness that I knew was in me all along. I just needed it to come out and feel safe doing so.
I want to jump in for a moment because
Yeah.
I'm glad that you touched on the Captivating Weekend. And one thing that you mentioned was getting clarity on what you were looking for and the type of partner and things of that sort. Now, I took note in the beginning of this conversation, you mentioned that you had done the list and like created, like you've done all the things, right, that people tell you to do. Make a list, get clear on what you're looking for, all those things. What was the difference between the list that you created and what you put down in the past prior to coaching and what you were looking for versus the list and what you did during the Captivating Weekend?
Yes, great question. So I would say, well, one, they were my pre-coaching lists were much longer. But they were great in that we kind of did a slightly similar activity during the Captivating Weekend So for me, it was like an adaptation of what I had been working on, but it was more fine-tuned. So for example, my lists were super long, but they were long because I took a look at a previous relationship, and that I felt I could have married this guy. And I looked at, what were the positive things that I liked about it and that I liked about him that I felt great about? And then what do I really need in a relationship? So I did like a before and after reflection, and that helped me to realize the gap in between what I had experienced and what I wanted and needed. And when we did the values activity during the captivating weekend for what we're seeking in a partner, I was clear about what things I wanted to put down in like a maximized list. But when it came down to do the top 10, I struggled. And I remember in that that exercise, you're like, just try and get clear, refine it. And so this list, though, what was helpful is that it was more accessible in terms of looking for that person than my longer list. That's not to say I threw out what I wanted, but I basically said, like, before someone can enter the door, can I see some of these things? Like, before we excel beyond a month or 3 months, do I see these attributes? And then those other ones are like the ripple effect. They'll come as a result of those top core values. So that was really helpful.
I love that. And I also love that you just mentioned using the list in a way to pay attention to, okay, before we get to this milestone, before we get to this point, having a process or having just a different and more intentional way of thinking and prioritizing what's important to you when it comes to what you're looking for in a partner and the courtship process. Now, before we get to you actually getting out there and meeting someone, how has your approach to the courtship process changed?
Definitely. So I would say from before I started coaching to being in coaching, I went from not being on any apps for years at a time. I was really uncomfortable with it. I had a lot of negative views and perspectives, and some of those were definitely warranted because it's like a box of chocolates. You don't know what you're going to get online, and you really have to come in with a strong game plan and strategy. And so I think coaching helped me to have a clear strategy so I wouldn't get distracted by the bumps in the road. So I would say coaching helped me to be more confident in my approach, to be more open. Because, again, with my pattern, I want to be out there, but I also don't want to be out there. Like, I want to talk to people, but only under very specific circumstances. And it's like sometimes you have to push yourself out there a little bit more. And then you may get the circumstances you're seeking, but you have to be out there for it to come to you at all.
And what's
So.
interesting about your experience, and I didn't know it had been years in between like you taking action that type of way. So I find that even more interesting because when you came in after the captivating weekend, you definitely kind of just went all in. You had that all in mentality. You started taking action. You didn't give yourself a lot of pause or hesitation. At least it didn't seem that way. And not long after you putting yourself out there, did you meet someone? There wasn't a big gap between you actually, and I really attribute a lot of that to you having a very open and positive mindset. Even though I know there were still fears and some negative beliefs and some past stuff to work through, but you really did just dive into coaching and dive into taking steps forward and asking questions. And I remember you asking questions even about your guy, about I don't know because of some other thing, like you had, but you still allowed yourself to proceed. So let's talk about that part. Okay, so you get out there, you decide, okay, let me take the app at avenue in order to meet someone. And what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, so I also attribute some of that confidence and that push to an exercise that you actually gave me, which was to have, I think, an accountability partner or something like that, to tell people that I was looking, because I think that's the other thing. Like, the part that helps me move past the avoidant is having someone, a companion, to say, let's do this. Like, you're on this journey. Like, we're watching you, we're witnessing you. So if you have any troubles, you're not alone in it. And so I think having a great friend is helpful. So one of the first things I did after the Captivating Weekend or around that time is I went out to get tea and coffee with one of my girlfriends. And I told her, I want to be married. I want to get on the apps. I'm doing X, Y, and Z. And this was also a friend who was married.
Love
and
it.
So she was very affirming and was like, you know what? Okay, well, I'm going to help you get on the apps. But she was like, we're doing it tonight.
I love it.
So we spent an hour of our, you know, girlfriend catch up time on the apps. And so that helped me to be on there. And then once I was on the apps, I was like, you know what, this isn't as scary or as frustrating as I thought. And I just kept myself open. I also created limits for myself. Like, I'm not going to be on here scrolling for hours. I'm going to just be open and talk to as many people as I feel comfortable communicating with. And see where it goes, because each person is there to teach me something mm-hmm. about myself or about this process. So I was on one app for about a month, and I also invested in the upgraded version because I said I'll at least do the upgraded version for 60 days just to see if there's a difference between those two. Exactly. And the audiences, and, you know, to see who is investing on the side of the men as well in this mm-hmm. process. But I was ready. I was ready. I was afraid, but ready. And I want to say I joined a second app about a month in because it was starting to get dry in one app. And I actually, the guy that I'm talking to now, ended up swiping on him on the first app. And then I saw him on the second one and I was like, okay, your persistence is actually kind of attractive. So let's see where this goes. And we've been talking since then. And that was about a month after I started coaching, we met.
December. And so that's amazing. And I remember when you first met him, you were on the fence. You're like, I don't know. And you saw some advice. I'm like, I don't know. Should I give it a chance? And should I see? We had a conversation about that, did some coaching on that, and you decided to proceed. So how has that journey been? Because you were only in coaching for about a month before you met someone that you liked. You guys had, you know, great conversation. You felt intrigued by him. And he's been consistent. And he's been patient. And you both have been learning a lot about each other. And things have been moving along. And I think it's been a little bit of time since we've really caught up about this relationship as well. But how has that journey been? As you've been working through your own sabotage, through your own patterns, learning more about yourself in this process as well. I know there's also been you having to relearn when it comes to things that you were taught, beliefs that you had, family stuff. Like, there's been unpacking. And I want to highlight that because I think that oftentimes when people set out into attracting a partner or their personal development or their journey when it comes to love and like self-discovery, they don't realize that it truly is a journey of self-discovery. And if you're only looking at the surface and you're not willing to look at yourself, look at your beliefs, look at your past patterns, look at your childhood stuff, like look at how this stuff is showing up in your relationships, it's going to be difficult for you to create a different outcome and for you to also stay motivated. And so you went into this with that just openness when it comes to your personal growth on this path, unlearning, unpacking, relearning. Like, you've been doing a lot of personal development in this short amount of time, specifically in the relationship area. So how has that been for you when it comes to this relationship? Can you just tell me a little bit about that journey with him?
Definitely, definitely. I mean, even from the beginning, you know, once we started talking and you know, going out together and just really having quality time, I had to confront some very intense fears that I had. I had to confront the intensity of the avoidance part and then the anxiety. And I felt like I was getting toggled back and forth between both of those sides. And so it's been a very joy-filled experience. I've experienced contentment and peace and felicity and happiness. And at the same time, also exhaustion, because as you said, there is a lot of unpacking. There is a lot of, you know, unlearning and relearning. And so I definitely would say for anyone who's experiencing a similar pattern or just the process, like, don't be dismayed by the difficulty that you may be experiencing or the exhaustion, because it's just about growth. It's about growth. So I have felt every inch and morsel of growth, as I've also felt like another level of happiness and joy in relationships that I had not experienced before. So It's interesting. I'm having those dual parts come alive. And so I would say with him, I've just communicated, you know, what I've learned from coaching is how to be present, to not be afraid of the process and the uncomfortable parts. And I would say therapy has helped me to be compassionate with myself. And I would say the tools that I've gained from both areas, from both experiences, has helped me to communicate to him how I show up, because we're similar in a lot of ways, but we also, he's more open and I'm more, I have to push myself more to communicate my vulnerability. And so I've just done the best I could to communicate where I come from in that space. And he's been receptive to it. And I think that's the thing, is like, there are people who are going to support you and meet you in whatever stage of your healing journey you're in. Just communicate where you are to them and give them the benefit of opening yourself up to that, opening them up to that part of your world and your experience.
I love that. And so when it comes to, I like to always look at things from like the spiritual lens as well. What have you learned about yourself or about your journey to love, just from like the spiritual component, about what you've been receiving, how you've been growing? What lessons have you been taught on this path as well?
Definitely. I've deepened my connection with the Creator. I've deepened my connection with the divine. And I've developed a trust that I had been desiring for a long time.
I was going to say, and your trust definitely has gotten stronger.
Oh, yes, it has. It's gotten stronger and I'm more awake. It's crazy, but I'm like more awakened to trusting. Then I'm like, you know what? Actually, let me go after more stuff that I want because of the specificity and detail. So, for example, that list, you know, one of the things that propelled me forward was continuing to connect with him, besides the quality of our connection after 30 days, was that within that 30-day period, the very things that I was seeking on the list that I cultivated during the captivating weekend, he exhibited it immediately without me verbalizing it. It wasn't like, I want you to show these skills. He just showed up that way. And so it affirmed to me a stronger trust in the divine. It affirmed to me a stronger trust in being firm about whatever it is that I'm seeking or desiring out of life. So now I'm like, I need to do this more with other areas of my life. And it's not to say I haven't had success in other areas, but I think I've been more rigid in those spaces. And this experience has taught me to allow myself to be more joyful and curious. And so I'm transferring that energy and more of that trust over to other areas of my life, just to see how many more ways can I expand? So, yeah.
That's so good. So with where you guys stand right now, like, where's the relationship right now?
It's going really great. We're actually,
I just saw the big smile. You guys can't see, but like, she instantly just went cheek to cheek, ear to ear, and like a huge smile as soon as I asked that question. So that's so cute. This is so beautiful.
Oh my goodness. So this is another part of the whole trust in the divine experience. So, you know, I did communicate earlier on in the relationship, like, you know, I was asked him out of curiosity, like, what's your ideal relationship timeline? Like, this is mine, what about yours? And as we continue to go further along in the relationship, our ideal timeline before getting married shortened gradually.
Wow.
And it shortened a little bit more because we are getting married soon this
you
summer.
You didn't tell me that. Oh my gosh, congratulations. Oh my
Thank
gosh.
You. I felt so bad coming into our call and not sharing before, but that's why I've been so out of it, because I've been trying to play.
That's amazing. So wait, so how did this happen? When did this happen?
Yeah, so I think about a month or so in, we started talking about, you know, what is our ideal timeline? And at first I was like, you know, maybe a year from now we can look into it, because I wanted to take as much time as I needed. And I was like, well, as each month progressed, our timeline got shorter because the clarity just kind of was affirmed as we continued to talk and communicate. And we went through the steps that I had them internally, but I was still kind of activating upon them, some of the steps from coaching, like, see how things are after 30 days and after 3 months. Mm-hmm. But I was really clear, and I was like, yeah, this is my person. And he also was very clear. So amazing. he always tells me he knew after the first time he met me that I was that we were going to get married. But he was just trying to be patient with me and my timeline, because I was like, okay, this is nice. I'll see you again.
So cute.
So it moved up a little bit faster towards the summer because of just wanting to have certain family members in attendance. Some of my family members are much older, and some of them are not in the best shape health-wise. And so if we were to prolong it a bit further out, mm-hmm. there's a possibility they might not be able to make it. So I'm praying and crossing my fingers that they'll be in good health to make it. But I think we both knew early on. And once we both said, okay, yeah, we're clear, then our focus shifted from, okay, we're getting to know each other just to get to know each other, to we're getting to know each other for a lifelong partnership. So
I love it. So you guys have a date already set?
We do. We have a date. Oh, yes.
My God, how are you feeling?
I'm excited. I felt like a cluster of emotions.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
I'm excited. I'm happy. And I'm also, you know, I also still have this excitement shock because, you know, as I shared earlier, when I went into the coaching program, and you probably remember from our discovery call, like, I wanted to just give myself an opportunity to see if I could do this, to see if a relationship was in my cards at all with life. And so I could say, hey, I at least tried. And I explored as many avenues as I could. And my goal was, yes, to meet someone and to get married, but really for personal development. Like I felt like I stretched myself as much as I could alone and or with the resources I had at that time. And so I think in my focus on stretching myself, I didn't realize how my divine timing was that I was aligned with meeting my partner at that time and having done the work prior to meeting him. So I was like, oh, maybe a year from now I'll meet somebody. So I'm still in that shock, like sticker shock, like, whoa, this is happening. And I also say too, like, I'm still doing the work. Like, I don't want anyone listening to think like, oh, you meet somebody,
that's
it's great.
It's the end. Everything's done. It's like, no, there's still work.
No. There's still work. There is still plenty of work. There's the work of working on yourself, the work of the relationship,
right,
and also getting to know someone. So I would say coaching has helped me to also realize my responsibility in a relationship, that it's not just sometimes we get messaging that says like, okay, the man has to work on these things. And as women, we don't have to, nope, we have work to do. Don't get it twisted. So that's made me a more compassionate partner and more present with myself. And it has helped build partnership because it's about two people working together. So I still have a lot of work that I'm doing. The deeper that I go into the relationship, the more vulnerability it calls for.
That's where it gets tricky. That's where it starts to get uncomfortable.
Exactly. So it's joy filled. And I also have moments where I'm like, ooh, this is a lot of work, but not a lot of work in the sense of
the relationship isn't the problem. It's the stretching of self. It's the discomfort. And I'm happy that you're pointing this out, because this is something that I've talked about in coaching in the last few months, but it's something that I feel as though is highly overlooked, especially in this world where we have social media messaging and so many people talking about relationships and podcasts, and a lot of people just sharing their opinions. And a lot of the opinions and conversations are very surface level. And they only go to the gender wars and a lot of the stuff, like a lot of the negativity when it comes to relationships. But the part that's often overlooked is, are you able to solve problems with another person? And are you willing to create intimacy with another person. And I think that that's where a lot of people who are looking to meet their person, looking to get married, looking for their life partner, right? Because you're not just looking to meet someone, you're looking for a partner. You're looking for someone that you can grow with, someone you can build with, someone you can share a life with. That requires a different set of skills. It requires a different level of intimacy that goes beyond just, you know, texting or meeting someone. Like, you have to have real conversations. You have to open up. You have to be uncomfortable. You're going to cry sometimes. You're going to get emotional. You're going to get triggered. And I want to point that out because people often think that if you're triggered, that means that it's not the right relationship or just throw it away. Like, no, that's not what that means. That means that there's something within you that you need to explore to figure out, why are you feeling triggered? What's coming up? How do you communicate that? Is there a boundary that needs to be set? Are there conversations that needs to be had? And this is where most people give up. So the beauty of creating an actual relationship and learning to create an actual relationship and being open and finding a person that's willing to do that with you, willing to have those hard conversations, willing to be vulnerable with you, willing to hold that space and you hold that space as well, is so important. And it's so valuable because it puts you in this space. And you may have heard me say in this coaching about love being an unlimited resource, right? Where it puts you in this space of reciprocation, and relationships require that. Relationships require you to not only be willing to give love, but also able to receive love. It has to be this loop of giving and receiving love. And oftentimes you may be giving love, but not receiving love. You may be receiving love, but not giving love, right? So there's often a disconnect that causes a breakup or burnout or some type of relationship dynamic that doesn't allow the relationship to continue to grow, continue to fully actualize. But when you have two people that are willing to create this loop of giving and receiving and holding space, and even when it's uncomfortable and it's not going to be perfect and it's not always going to be easy, and sometimes it can be ugly because you're going to see things about yourself like, whoa, I thought I worked through that. Whoa, I didn't know that I had that problem. Whoa, I actually need to apologize. Maybe I didn't communicate that well, right? And being able to hold yourself to a higher standard and elevate in that type of way, I believe is what makes you very magnetic and attractive for the type of relationship that you deserve.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you verbalize exactly what that process has been like for me. Like, it's a consistent practice of working on myself, mm-hmm. Healing old parts. And I feel like another component, and this is something my therapist shared with me, but like in relationships where there is safety, where you do have that trust with that person, those parts of you that may have been hidden or difficult or hard to deal with or face or shadows, they do come out more because they feel safe too. Mm-hmm. So as you said, it may feel like, oh, that's not a good sign, but actually it's a good thing because you now feel safe to let it come out, mm-hmm. to talk with that person and communicate. So it has been an exercise in allowing myself and allowing those parts of me that were hard to face to come up, to communicate that to my partner and to affirm like I'm worthy of love, even with all of these things that are messy and so human.
I love it. And for you to humanize him in the process as well, because that's a thing that we often struggle with as women, is looking at men from a very human lens, giving them that space to have their emotions and their stuff and their imperfections as well, because we often hold them to such a high standard that they're supposed to have all the answers, they're supposed to have it together, and they already know better, and it's like all these things. But when you're willing to be vulnerable and you're willing to hold that space for the other person, then you're relating to them from a lens of understanding and less from a lens of judgment. And that judgment is really what blocks the opportunity for two people to connect on a deeper level. So I love that. I'm so ecstatic for you. You know, it just, yeah, I'm super sad. I kind of had an idea. I was like, I wonder. Like, I kind of had an idea, but I wasn't 100% sure. So I appreciate you so much for dropping that news on this podcast. What other things would you say have impacted you? Like, one conversation that we had, and I don't want to go too much into detail, but we had a conversation about business, right? and about how you, one is like communication and boundaries and how those things pour into other aspects of life as well. And I want to point this out only because we often don't realize that how we show up in one area is also typically how we show up in another. And we don't realize that if we have some challenges or blocks when it comes to communication or boundaries or worthiness or any of those things, it's not just showing up in one area. It's showing up in other areas too. And you may be successful and you may be educated and you may have it going on, but like that next level or that push that you need to do that next thing may still be shrinking and holding yourself back as well. So how have you seen where you improving in your relationships and your love life, seeing that parallel between how it's showing up in other areas as well?
For sure. I feel like the core lesson, like after our conversation about it, I spent some more time reflecting on it. And something that stuck out to me was really that trust aspect. And I've realized that that is something that I had been struggling with for so long. And with my work, I had a lot of self-doubt. Even with being successful, there was still an immense amount of self-doubt and a lack of trust in the process, mm-hmm. that if I kept going or that if I was, you know, stated my goals and my desires and my dreams and my passions out loud, even in the career space, that they would come to fruition, or that I would feel safe to allow them to come to fruition. And so, you know, one thing that I'll say this, one aspect of the relationship journey has been like immense joy, but also with that joy, it's taught me a lesson about sometimes how we can play small mm-hmm. in other areas of our lives. Mm-hmm. And I've had to definitely grieve and heal that. Like, why did you play small in mm-hmm. one aspect of your life?
You know, why did you for one moment? Because I just want to touch on that aspect of grief, because most of the women that I've worked with have mentioned that that was a part of the process that they weren't expecting, was having to grieve the old version of them, having to grieve their past, having to grieve their choices and their beliefs and this idea that they had of themselves or what was available to them. And that grief of like what you just said, why have I played so small? Why did I think so little of myself? Why did I allow this into my life or into my space? Why didn't I go for more, or go for what I actually wanted? And that can be very eye-opening. And like you said, it can create a sadness. It can create, you know, some, maybe not bitterness, but it could be bitterness in some ways too, or anger, just different emotions, because you may feel angry towards yourself. You may also feel angry towards your loved ones or others for like, why didn't they teach me this? Why didn't they tell me this? Why didn't I know this earlier? I didn't have to go through these things. I didn't have to experience this. It can create all different types of emotions in that process of shedding.
For sure. I agree. The grief part I wasn't expecting, because we get socialized with so many images about relationships as these Disney fairy tales where you meet someone and everything feels good all the time and always. And that's not the case. Like, you can have a content, happy, healthy relationship and still grieve, still be sad, still feel frustrated or disappointed with your past experiences, past self, or even things that still come up in the present that, you know, things that I thought I shed or let go of that I'm still shedding. There's more layers, there's more uncovering. So for sure, the grief took me by surprise. And I will say my anxious and avoidant pattern when it came to unexpected emotions was triggered by some of that, because I was like, am I supposed to be feeling this way? Because the internal experience of grief was not matching the external joy mm-hmm. and the other internal joy of the relationship. So I was like, oh, there's something going on. You know, I felt feelings about my feelings. Exactly.
Yeah. It's an inner war when things are going good or it feels healthy or you feel a level of peace and joy and excitement. But it's also, like you said, that grief or that sadness. And the emotions can be very confusing to have to process, because you're like, well, things are going good and I don't want to mess this up. But I also feel like maybe it's going too good and I should run, or, you know, I should push it away or walk away because this feels overwhelming, because I'm enjoying this and I'm sad about the past or other things. And one thing that you briefly touched on was having to overcome past experiences. And in this process, when you meet someone and you're in a relationship that feels good and now you're comparing to the past and who you were in the past in that relationship and not realizing what you may have settled for in the past. And that can be very hurtful or painful to have to come to that realization as well.
Definitely. It, you know, looking back on some of my experiences, when I left previous relationships, I left with the knowing like I deserve better and I'm going to get it one way or another, you know, but I had to take my time to get to that point. And I think if you're in that pet space for so long where you're seeking or working towards something or healing yourself, and you do get the relationship that you have cultivated yourself or that you've healed over and all of that, it does feel strange because your mind is still thinking about like, wow, I've been in the space of working so long that now being in another space feels different or it feels uncomfortable. So even the joy is a hard pill to swallow because it's so different from what we may be used to feeling or working toward. So but the grief though, I'm also grateful for it because it does let me know how far I've come. Mm-hmm. And it lets me know that I have the ability to expand beyond, you know, what I thought I was doing or who I thought I needed to be or expectations that I had about myself. Because the thing with relationships is that that person is mirroring through their curiosity about you things that you may not have known about yourself or were afraid to confront. And so being curious about myself, as I would encourage folks to have compassion with yourself as you're getting to know yourself in this mm-hmm. new space. And I even told him, like, I know myself, but I'm learning a new version of myself who's experiencing you and you're experiencing a new version of me. So it's all new. It's all new.
I love that. And that level of awareness, I think, has been so important for you specifically on this journey. And I gave you your flowers about that. I think you are super self-aware and I noticed that on our discovery call and our initial call, you had this high level of self-awareness. You had a high desire to grow and to change and not just to theorize, but also to take action. So I was like, yes, I want to work with her. That's my type of girl. That's the type of girly I like because she's self-aware, she's introspective, and she's accountable, and she's willing to take action. And that's the type of woman that I love to work with. And as you were just speaking, it made me think of all of the women that I've worked with that have really done the work and really taken action in coaching, and they're now married and they're now with their partners, they all mention that grief, that having to look at themselves differently, that grief. And that's like that bingo, like, okay, like she's done it. She's hit it. She gets it. So I love to hear that. And I'm curious to know, what are three things that, if you had to point out three things that you did differently? I know one thing you mentioned was trust, in allowing yourself to trust. And that's a big thing. And I like to talk about that even from a religious standpoint, because a lot of times what I've noticed is that women, doesn't matter what the religion is or what the faith is, a lot of times trust and that idea of surrender just stops at the tongue. Like it doesn't penetrate on a deeper soul level. And it's scary and it's uncomfortable because then you have to open yourself up to uncertainty. And with uncertainty comes risk, and that's where vulnerability is. And so for most, the idea of trusting is like, absolutely not. There's a block there, not going to let it happen. But when you're not willing to build your muscle, because it's not an overnight thing, it's a process and it's a lifelong journey when it comes to trust and surrender. But when you're not willing to open yourself up to that level of vulnerability and risk and uncertainty, that anxiety, that fear, all those things that come up, and you're really just trying to control the process and control yourself in order to survive, because that's all it is, it's just your fight or flight instincts kicking in, and you're not willing to release and to surrender, it doesn't allow you to take those steps forward. And it also doesn't allow you to develop that flow and that deeper level of trust with your creator, and also that trust with yourself, that trust that you are going to be okay no matter what. You're going to be okay. You can take care of yourself. You can protect yourself. And if things don't work out, like, it's still all for the best. And mm-hmm. I think that gifts from men exercise really helps to give some perspective on that. And I think that's why it does make it emotional. But embodying that level of trust, it creates a deeper level of vulnerability within yourself and intimacy within yourself, intimacy with your creator. And then it also allows you to truly open up your heart to love and possibility on a different level.
Definitely. I agree. Trust, my trust experience has expanded beyond what it was before. And before I entered coaching, you know, that was a deficit that I felt heavily in my life. And it wasn't that I had not experienced, you know, having to trust my creator in so many other areas of my life. And I had to exercise that muscle, but it was sore. It did hurt. It was uncomfortable. And so I would say I've had to also reevaluate my relationship with the creator. So I would say in the space of coaching, in the space of seeking partnership, it hasn't just been about seeking that partner. Like, you are renewing a relationship with someone for the first time. You're renewing a relationship with yourself, and you also are renewing a relationship with the creator. And so there's three relationships going on at one time. And so the heaviness or the exhaustion that I felt, I've had to just accept, because it's like there are so many things going on in me emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, mentally, because of that renewal. And so I've had to face and confront different parts of my relationship with the divine that were painful. One thing that, you know, part of the three things that you had asked about, I would say the second one in that process is really working on self-compassion. How I talk to myself about the things that I'm experiencing, about the emotions that I'm experiencing. And I would say definitely for the adapter and avoidant patterns or other patterns. The third thing I would say is not operating from a place of fear as much as possible. Because, you know, when I catch myself, when I start to have a fear tunnel or a tunnel of negative thoughts, and I'm like, okay, well, let's see, where is this coming from? What part of me is feeling this? What part of me is maybe afraid? Or what do you want me to know about this process? So I've learned a lot about my perspectives on perfection versus excellence, about being harder on myself. And, you know, even my own criticisms and judgments of myself, I've had to work through. So that compassion and choosing curiosity over fear, and the adventure of life over fear. Because I used to hate when people say, the adventure of life. Instead of, I say adventure of life and curiosity instead of eliminating fears, because the fears are still there. Right. They just shrink. So when people say eliminate your, I'm like, it doesn't go away. We just learn to grow around it, like grief. Like, we learn to grow around it. And then we look at this fear. It's like, oh yeah, that wasn't too bad. It goes from this scary thing to this soft thing. So I like to look at it as curiosity and the adventure of life. And that helps me to be a little bit less afraid than I was before embarking on something.
I love you saying adventure of life, because my friend Anya McGee, and I don't think Anya's been in the community since you've been in coaching, but she's collaborating with me on some things with the Love Loft, and she's just an amazing hypnotherapist. She's very good at what she does. But she always talks about life and like the whole aspect of like free will and, you know, just divine timing and just all those things as choose your own adventure. And she says, her life is just like choose your own adventure, like whatever path you decide to choose and the outcomes and the things that happens along that path. So I love you saying the adventure of life, because she always says like, yeah, it's just like a choose your own adventure plan. Like, and so I love that. Amazing. And like I said, I'm just super excited. I can't wait to hear more over the next few months as you are preparing for your marriage, God willing, and just moving in that direction. And any advice that you would have just giving to women, whether it's women who have the adaptive pattern or just women in general, whether it's advice about coaching, about relationships, like what would you tell them when it comes to this aspect of their life, so that they are willing to push themselves to get off of the fence of fear and be willing to take steps forward.
Definitely. I would say the first thing I would say is acknowledge your feelings and your fears as valid. Don't try and hide them or deny them. And also acknowledge your desires too. Don't try and hide and deny those as well. Don't belittle them. Give yourself the gift of accepting yourself and who you are and what you're seeking and you're desiring, be it a relationship or just other aspects of your life. Like, give yourself permission to dream, to have faith, to believe, and allow yourself to enjoy the experience and the adventure without feeling like you have to attach your worthiness or the success of your life to a specific outcome. Determine and define success on your own terms. Continue to nurture yourself. Have an abundance of self-compassion and surround yourself with people and messages that affirm your worthiness and your self-compassion abundantly. And I would also say just, you know, take your time. Don't feel like you have to do everything or figure everything out before you enter coaching, before you enter relationship. Do life messy, because it is, it's just going to be that way. And yeah, I would say allow yourself to be human. And in that space, it'll allow you to have more compassion for not only yourself, but for your family relationships, your friendships, and your life partnership, you know, to see that person as a human being. So even now, when I have moments where I'm like, you know what, I used to be frustrated by this, I realize I'm not frustrated by certain things because I have more compassion and I've cultivated with that within myself, and it's improved my outlook on life. So be open. And I would also say one thing I would add, and this is something that you've affirmed through coaching, is to continue to nurture, care for yourself, dream big, and just expand yourself. Your relationship is not the end point. It's a beginning point for another level of your life, but you are still you. You are still yourself. So continue to cultivate the individual that you are in, even within that relationship.
I love that. I love that. Keep living a captivating life. Keep going bigger. Keep growing in all those areas. Well, thank you so much. And again, congratulations on your engagement. We can call it an engagement. Congratulations on your engagement. And you may be the first adapter. No, you're the second. You're the second. You're not the first. Freda was the first. You are the second adapter that we've had that has gotten married. Or, well, you're on the path. I'm just going to claim it. That has gotten married. Okay. So you're the second adapter. And that is so special to me, because I know that adapters struggle with that fear. They tend to have less relationship experience because they take those big gaps and they have that kind of looking at relationships through, like, it's like reality TV, like, oh, that's the drama. Oh, that's what's going on over there. I don't want it over here. And so I love to see my adapter girlies push through and get out there and meet their person and truly open up their hearts and open up themselves to love, to connection, to vulnerability, and to do that work. So that is so special. You are amazing. You are going to have so many blessings on this journey. Whatever you need to come out of this experience with you and your future husband, you're going to get every single thing that you need, and all the lessons and all the experiences and just all the beauty of life and love and all of those things. So I'm so excited for you. I can't wait to hear more about it. And I thank you so much for coming on here and having this conversation with me and sharing your story for other women who are on the same path and journey to love. So thank you so much, Amira, for being here today.
Thank you so much. I received that with so much gratitude. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, beautiful. I want to ask you to share this podcast with the woman you know and help us change the way women attract partners and court for commitment. I'm a huge believer that when we change one woman and elevate her relationships, we change society, and we also change family trees. And you can help with this simply by sharing the podcast. Thanks for being a part of the Courtship Code community, and thanks for sharing this episode.